Hello, class. Good to see each one of you again through the avenues of the internet, and I trust that everything is going well with you. We're going to start off with a word of prayer, and we're going to get right into our class session on the spirit of honor. And I just thank God for what he's doing by his spirit, and we just trust God that what we're going to share today is going to be impactful in your life. Father, we just thank you right now in Jesus' name for each and every student in this class session. I thank you right now, Lord God, for that they're receiving everything that they need. Praise God. And in this final stretch, Lord God, you're refining each and every student. And Lord God, hallelujah, molding them and shaping them to the men and the women of God that you want them to be. Lord, as always, I thank you, hallelujah, for the Holy Spirit. For Holy Spirit, if you don't show up, I'll fall flat on my face. So I'm leaning completely and totally upon you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, class, as I stated last week, we won't be reviewing any more new material, but what we will be doing is going over material from last semester and the first several classes of this semester, this session and the next session, and if however many more classes we have left. Because one of the things the Lord in place imparted in me are just a strong impression was to stick with the basics of honor and to make sure and to drill these concepts in each and every student. So just to let you know that your final for the year will consist of last week's class, this class, the next class, and it'll probably be the last four class sessions. We have four class sessions after the last exam. And so if you study this material, you should do well on the test, and it's going to be material that you've already had. One of the things the Lord shared with me years ago, and I want to point this out, he told me, he said, son, when I was in the school of ministry, some 25 or whatever years ago, the charter class, he said, don't be concerned about the grade so much, because you can't take a test paper and hold it before Satan and say, look, I made 100 on this paper, you know, but it's going to be what you put into your heart that's going to put you over in life and to give you the victory and so that you can walk with God and be the man and the woman of God, and that your ministry will blossom because of that. Amen. So the material is so much more important than the grade. If you make a mistake on a test or you get something wrong, don't let that stretch out. It's not about a test score, but it's about you getting the information, and I want to make sure I point that out. All right, one of the things we talked about last week, and I want to reiterate it this week because it's so very important, and that is the anointing of God always flows down from the head to every part of the body of Christ. When you position yourself properly and honor the apostolic source in your life, that anointing on him flows down into your life. Now, what I want to do is expound on that a little bit about positioning yourself. When you position yourself properly, you're getting in the place that God has placed you in, whatever ministry you're in, and you're submitting to your man of God. You're honoring your man of God. You're serving your man of God. You're getting in proper alignment. You see, I believe with all my heart that there is a particular place in each and every person's life that God wants you to be in. I always use the expression, you are more anointed being where God has placed you than any other time in your life. So, you know, the anointing will flow down from heaven to the apostolic leader, in this case, Apostle Leroy Thompson, to your spiritual father, who should be connected to an apostle if he's not connected to Apostle Thompson. And then it flows down to every member of your pastor's congregation. And when you are aligned properly, you cannot help but get the flow of anointing. And when I say the anointing, all the grace, all the mercy, all the blessing, all the prosperity, that's yours because you're aligned properly. I just bought me a new set of tires for my car, and the previous set, though I still had rubber on it, because they had begun to wear, it was hard for the car to stay in alignment, because when you would let the steering wheel go, it would drift off to the right. And so, and even when you were driving, you had to kind of hold it and put a little bit more pressure towards the left to keep it straight, because the alignment wasn't right. So it was, I was almost fighting it to some degree, not a lot, but enough to know I need to get a new set of tires. Once I replaced the tires, those tires got aligned properly, I could stay right down the center. As long as the road was straight, I didn't have to really do anything, just barely hold the steering wheel, because the car would drive straight. So when you're in alignment, you're following close and straight behind your man of God, following close and straight behind your pastor. You're absorbing the teaching, the principles, and all the things that he's sharing. You're internalizing that. You're getting the importation, and you're walking in the revelation of what he's saying. When you align yourself properly, the flow of anointing that's on him because of your connection and your proper alignment can't help but flow down on you. That gives honor to your man of God, and it also brings honor to you. Amen? All right, so keep that concept in mind. Something else we talked about probably last week, as I stated at the very beginning of this, of our, you know, the last semester, I'm a repeater. But one of the things the Lord showed me was, if they can just get the basics of honor and begin to walk in the basis, the basics of honor, the more intricate parts, the Holy Spirit reveals them to you, because you're following the conceptual principles properly. And the things specific to you, the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart in areas of how you should honor to a greater degree the person or the persons that you're following. Anyway, the greatest seed that you can sow is an honor seed. It will produce the greatest level of honor in your life, or the greatest level of harvest, I'm sorry, in your life. There's no greater seed than an honor seed. It will produce the greatest level of harvest in your life, greater than any other seed that you can sow. Okay? You say, okay, honor seed. An honor seed comes in many forms. When you tithe, you're sowing an honor seed. The Bible says, bring your tithe into the storehouse. You know, honor the Lord with the first fruits of your increase. That's your tithe. So when you sow your tithes, you are sowing an honor seed. When you actually sow an offering into your pastor, your apostle, your man of God, or whomever God has instructed, that's an honor seed, because you're sowing it in honor. Amen. So it's not just a specific seed that's an honor seed. When you sow as instructed by God, you're sowing honor. Amen. Hallelujah. So remember that. All right, let's move on. Something else we talked about is, like I said, nothing is going to change. But what happened with me, the more I heard apostles teaching over and over and over again on certain key principles, and the more I began to start to do what I heard my man of God say, the more I began to experience the blessings of God in my life, because I was applying the principles. So with that said, you should never go before a man of God empty-handed. I know you heard that before, but I can't understress that enough. Whenever you know you're going to church or you're going to be around your pastor, your apostle, always have a seed to sow. And I'm a bring that even one step further than just having a seed when you're around him. You need to make a point at times when you have a need or you believe in God for something, you need to go and locate your man of God and sow into his life. If you believe in God, or if you have a faith project that you're believing God for, that's an opportune time to go before your man of God with a seed, you know, because you're going, but you're not going empty-handed. So it's not that you're just running into him in church or in the grocery store or anything like that, but you're making a specific effort to sow into the anointing. When you sow into the anointing, you're sowing an honor seed, and that seed will produce as we stated earlier, the greatest level of harvest in your life. So you never want to go before a man of God empty-handed. Always have a seed to sow. Amen? That's so very important. Okay, and the reason why it's so very important is because of Genesis 8 and 22. Sowing seeds of honor is an established kingdom principle based on the spiritual laws of sowing and reaping. And it is backed by the scripture, Romans 8, 22. Matter of fact, while we have time, we're going to go into the scripture and we're going to read that. Because I want to make sure you understand that spiritual principle. So if you have your Bibles, or when you get a chance, turn to Romans 8 and verse 22 and meditate on it. Get it down into your heart so that that word will resonate and it'll become a rhema word and you'll understand it and you understand the importance of a seed. It says in Romans 8 and 22, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. So while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. So as long as the earth is still revolving and we're still living on planet earth, this spiritual law of sowing and reaping will not cease. This is the way, the primary way that God wants us to walk in financial prosperity, and not just financial prosperity, but health, peace, joy, victory in every area of our lives. Is we live on the seed principle, on the principle of sowing seed. A seed will meet any and every need. And when you sow a seed, you're sowing a seed of honor. We already talked about that. So establish those things. Get them settled in your heart because they will change your life. This is God's plan for your financial prosperity. Give and it shall be given. Good measures pressed down, shaken together, running over shall men give unto your bosom. So with the same measure that you meet, it shall be met unto you again. That's the spiritual principle. Know the power and the ability of a sown seed. It is designed by God to secure your future or to establish your future. A seed is designed to secure. When I say secure, it's just when something is secure, it's set up. You know, Social Security is something that's supposed to help people once they retire. I've been retired. Right now, I'm not even eligible for Social Security. Be honest with you, I don't even need it. When I'm eligible for it, I'll receive it. But because I have applied the principles of Romans 8:22 for the better part of my life since I've been a member here of Word of Life Christian Center, my seed meet my need. You know, my jobs have called me back twice. Both times I've told them, thanks, but no thanks. You know, I gave you 37 years. That was enough. You know, I'm living off my seed, and I'm continuing to sow, and I understand the principle of Romans 8:22 and what it can do for me. And one thing you want to understand, God is no respecter of persons. If he does it, what I saw him do an apostle in the early years, I began to apply it to my life. And though I'm still working in the area of growing and always developing because there's always more, you know, I am at a point where I'm beginning to see fruits abound in my life. You know, things that I tried 10, 15 years ago, I go back to those same projects now, and with the right principle of sowing, and it is a piece of cake. I wish I could explain. Even just yesterday, my wife and I went into a bank because we needed to make some transactions and to get some things done. And I mean, everything we wanted, we got. And if I were to explain it to you, it would blow you away, because I'm still, you know, in awe. But I know it was the seed. Before I had to go to make the transaction, I sowed the seed. Matter of fact, the meeting was delayed. It was supposed to be on a Monday, but it ended up being on a Wednesday. And what happened was that gave me a time now
to sow into my man of God. So when the fake project came, it was a piece of cake. Or when we went to get, you know, with the approvals we need, it was a piece of cake. Let me move on. All right. Know what a life source is. A life source is anyone sent by God into your life who is a giver of life or who nourishes life, an originator of life, physical or spiritual life, a giver or one who releases God's life. You must honor every life source. I talked about this first part of the semester. Your parents are life sources. If your mom and dad are still alive, you need to honor them. You know, with that said, I haven't been to my mom's house in about a week and a half because I've been busy doing some things. This Saturday, I'm making a point of going, spending some time, checking to make sure she has everything she needs, and just being a blessing in any possible way I can. You know, you are to honor every life source. And a life source, again, is anyone God sent into your life who gives or nourishes life. Somebody who's an originator of life, like a mother, a physical life or spiritual life, a giver or one who releases God's life. Your pastor releases God's life. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and life. So anyone that's speaking the word of God under the anointing of God, they are releasing spirit and life. And those people need to be honored, okay? You are to honor every life source, okay? Anything God has given you, an apostolic, I talked about an apostolic source, and basically that's an apostle who God has sent to be a life source into your life. You know, you need to know how to honor your man of God properly. You need to know how to honor your pastor properly. He's a life source. You know, honor the elderly properly. Children need to obey their parents. You know, all of those things, all of these things I just stated are ways for us to sow honor. You know, even an employer. You know, your boss, your supervisor, you respect and you honor those people. And even though they may not necessarily be honorable, but you sow honor to whom honor is deemed to be sold. You know, and by doing so, God will continually bless you. Amen. Let me move on. All right. With that said, let's talk about the definition of honor. We talked about that last semester. Honor is one of high esteem, high public esteem, one of high reputation. A person who has high public esteem or high reputation is an honorable person. Honor is one who has notoriety and recognition. A person who has a lot of notoriety, they're known abroad and they've been recognized, that's an honorable person. Honor, now this is the third one, and it has spiritual implications. Honor is one who has certain privileges conferred upon them in lieu of their anointing, their gifting, and their ranks. I'm going to read that again. Honor is one who has certain privileges conferred upon them in lieu of their anointing, their giftings, and their ranks. And those privileges can be certain anointings that's on their lives, a certain grace that's upon their life, a certain gifts that they possess, you know, and the favor that's on their life, you know. So a person who has favor, who has gifts bestowed upon them, who has an anointing and a grace, certain privilege conferred upon them, that's an honorable person. Amen? All right. And with that said, you never want to become too familiar with your life source or your apostolic source, or you never want to come too familiar with your man of God. Because when you become too familiar with them, you put them on your level, and what's on them cannot come on you. You always want to understand and recognize that there are ranks and there are levels, and it's so very important. When Jesus came into his own town, they didn't receive him because they didn't honor what God had done in his life. They saw him as just an ordinary man, as just David's and Mary's son from Bethlehem. And so they looked at him differently and didn't see the anointing that God has upon his life. So let me read this. In Matthew 13 and 57, Jesus said, "A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house." He is literally saying that familiarity in many places breeds dishonor and discontent. You know, so Jesus was sent to be a blessing, but if you don't receive him as a blessing, if you don't receive him as a man of God, you know, the Bible says because they didn't honor him and they were too familiar with him, Jesus in his own hometown could not do many miracles because of their unbelief and their disrespect or dishonor to the gift of God. You know, with that said, I want to say something. I remember in the early years, before Apostle had all the notoriety, was actually an apostle, was just operating as a pastor in my first years at the church. We used to spend a lot of time with him one-on-one. I remember sitting across the table eating lunch or dinner, you know, or a late snack with him at a camp meeting years ago in Tulsa, Oklahoma, just being able to physically put my hands on him anytime I got ready. But as he began to increase in honor, notoriety, and recognition, and his assignment began to increase, his scope and his field of influence expanded, where other pastors and other ministers, now he's in higher circles. His rank and his elevation had increased. And it initially made me feel like, you know, as a member of the church, you know, feel like I felt somewhat, you know, I don't have that access like I used to. And, you know, it kind of bothered me a little bit. But then God was telling me, he said, those years you had with him closely, he said, it's not that he's not close, but his assignment has increased. You know, all the things you learned in them early years, now you are applying and they're making an impact on your life. And you really, except for hearing him teach and minister on the anointing, that's all you need. You know, you don't need him tapping you on the back, rubbing you on the head all the time, where you can physically, you know, a lot of times people they want to put a seed in his hand. I don't have a problem with just dropping off a seed at the church. I've driven up to his house, put a seed in the mailbox. I don't have to see him. As long as I know the seed has been planted in good soil, hey, I'm good to go. You know, and I don't want to let my man of God become too familiar to me to the point where, you know, I feel like, you know, I'm left out, or that, you know, whatever the cause may be, you don't want your man of God to become too familiar with you you become too familiar with him to where that's just brother so-and-so. That's, you know, I know his sisters, I know his brothers, you know. Who do he think he is? Well, why do he think he's so important? No, it's not about what he thinks, it's about what God thinks and what God has bestowed upon him. And when you honor properly, what's on him will always come upon you. Amen? All right, let me move on. Now, this is another good point here. Sons and daughters must realize that the hands of the Father releases the blessing. Sons and daughters must honor and respect and acknowledge that the Father has been sent and empowered to convey and to transfer the importation that they need. This is a loaded statement here. I'm gonna read it again. Now on your test, it's just gonna read sons, but I know we have sons and daughters in the class. But sons must realize that the hands of the Father, your spiritual father, your pastor, the person that God had called you to sit under, releases the blessings, okay? The blessings that you need, you know? The scripture out of Hebrews 7:7, without all contradiction, the less is blessed because of the better. You know, when going back to what we shared earlier, if you align yourself properly, the blessing that's on him comes down upon you. So sons and daughters must realize that the hands of the Father releases the blessing. A lot of times people think they can get the blessing outside of their man of God. No. You know, God anoints and blesses who he chooses, and then he appoints us to those individuals. He assigns us to sit under an anointing, and he brings us to a particular brook. Just like he brought Elijah to a brook, and that brook sustained Elijah, God will take you to a particular ministry and tell you to sit under that ministry. And that man of God at that ministry has everything you need to sustain you. If especially if he's connected to an apostle. With that said, I'm going to just say it how it came out earlier when I was thinking about it. I would not be under a pastor who's not submitted to and under a spiritual father. Because if I do, I'm actually limiting myself and where I can go in God. Because he can only go so far by himself. But if he's connected properly, the sky's the limit. So it's so very important that, you know, you find someone who's connected properly so you can connect properly so the anointing can flow down properly. Amen? All right, let me move on. Another powerful scripture, the last two scriptures in the Old Testament in the book of Malachi, talks about Elijah. That's Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. You need to know this. It says, "Behold, I send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of that great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." That's Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. He says, "Behold, I send you Elijah," or one translation on one thing says the spirit of Elijah, the prophet, before that great and dreadful day of the Lord. And what it is the Elijah principle. You know, Elijah followed his man of God, Elijah, who was the prophet, you know, and the heart of the father was turned to the son, and the heart of the son was turned to the father. And because Elijah followed so closely, aligned it properly, he was able to receive a double portion of Elijah's spirit. He said, "As the Lord liveth and my soul liveth," he said, "I will not leave thee." You know, he's, "I'm going to follow my man of God. Wherever my man of God goes, I'm going to be there." He says, "I'm going to Bethel. Wait here and tarry here for a while." He says, "No, as the Lord liveth and my soul liveth, I'm not going to leave you." You know, so and then it got to the point where Elijah said, "If you know, I'm going to be taken away from you soon." He said, "What would you have me to do for you?" And he said, I want a double portion of your spirit. And he said, "Oh, you've asked a hard thing. But if you see me when I'm taken up, it'll be so. If not, it will." In other words, you need to keep your eyes on me. I can remember apostles saying, and not only just hearing him say it, but I've watched him do it. And I've watched during the years where his spiritual father, Kenan Hagin, was alive, when he would be ministering, I've watched Kenan Hagin look dead into apostles' eyes. And the reason why I know that is because in one instance, I'm sitting in the row because the whole church was full. Apostle saw me, beckoned the usher to get a chair so he can sit me right next to him on the first or the second row in the church, in his church in Jackson, Mississippi. And when Kenan Hagin started to minister, he started to minister and walked over to the area where Apostle was. and was ministering and looking dead into his eyes. And I'm looking at Kenneth Hagin right here, looking at my spiritual father right there. And you could see the connection. And the Lord spoke to me. I'll never forget this, because before the Lord instructed me to start sitting under apostle, my desire in the early years was to go to Rhema Bible Training Center. But the Lord, Spirit of the Lord told me no for both me and my wife. And, you know, about a year or two later, he put it on my heart and told me that this is where I needed to be. And that night, which was about 27 years ago, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to my heart and says, I know you wanted to follow this man, you know, but I've called you to follow this man. The same anointing that's on him is on him. So don't think that you're not getting everything you need. Listen up. This is prophetic. He said, because what's on him is flowing into your man of God. And when you align properly, you know, you're going to get everything you need. And guess what? I got everything I need. You know, that's why, you know, sons must realize that the hands of a father releases the blessing, you know. And that's why I say it's so important to follow somebody that's connected, you know, because I followed Apostle. He was connected. And so you, if you're a pastor or you sitting under a pastor, you need to make sure that your pastor is connected. Amen. Let me move on. But this is the Elisha principle. Amen. You know, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before that great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the hearts. See, what's happening in these last days is God is turning the hearts of the father to their children. A true apostle have a heart for children, and he wants his children to grow and to mature and to be and to go places that he never went. You know, that's why he's so adamant and he's so intense, because he wants us, he sees things and he knows what God has for us, and he wants us to go after it with all gusto. And I'm going for the goal. I'm going for the gusto, because I want all that God has for me. And I trust that you do too. When you honor properly, when you align properly, you can't help but flow in that self-same anointing. Amen? That's very important. All right, let me move on. All right. Ministry gifts must respect and honor so impartation can be released. Honoring the gift that God has sent you will release the Father's blessing in your life. One more time. Ministry gifts need to respect and honor. I'm reading it out of context, not with the right emphasis. Ministry gifts, a gift, an apostle, a prophet, a pastor, a ministry gift needs to be respected and honored. So you need to respect your pastor, respect the prophets of God, respect God's apostolic divine order, apostolic order, your apostle. Ministry gifts need to be respected and honored. So impartation, so what's on them, the impartation that they have can be released. Honoring the gift that God has sent you will release the Father's blessing in your life. You know, that's one of the only ways I know to get it, is by respecting and honoring. I'm trying to say, how could I kind of get this surmises in the last few minutes? It's a process. It doesn't happen overnight, even though you say, yeah, I respect and honor my man of God. But sometimes it's going to acquire sacrifices in your life, rearranging your schedule, changing your plans, relocating to where God has called you to be to get closer. It's going to cause some uncomfortable situations to happen in your life for a brief period of time to see whether or not how sincere, how trustworthy, how loyal, how faithful, how good of a steward you are. You know, those things, You know, I heard one man say years ago, there's no elevator to the top floor in spiritual things. He didn't say it like that, but he was just saying, you know, you can't take the elevator. You have to take the steps. And any step you miss along your journey to get to where God wants you to be, if you miss a step, you can't progress any further. You got to go back and you got to take that step or learn that lesson or go through that trying time or go through that proving time. I remember a proving time for me was right before I got ordained. I've been over prison ministry for 26 years or so. I can't, you know, it was up in the 20s, almost 30 years. But had 25, maybe 30 prison ministers under me. And just so happened the day that apostle, the Lord told apostle to ordain us, I was out of town. And I didn't get ordained that day. When I came back the next Sunday, everybody was looking at me like, where were you? Nobody told me what had happened, you know. And then eventually I found out. And it wasn't until about 3, 4, maybe 5 months later that one Sunday he called me up and he says, I'm going to ordain you. And basically he looked at me and told me to stick close, you know, take the lesson and keep going, you know. But for a brief period of time, that was a step I had to stay on that step because I felt awkward. Everybody who was under me got licensed and ordained, but I didn't, you know. And I'm kind of saying, Lord, what's going on here? And then I found out later that a good friend of mine knew what was about to happen, didn't tell me about it, and I could have changed my plans. You know, but one of the things I learned about that, whenever I go out of town, and because I'm in leadership now, I let my direct reports, you know what I'm planning on doing. And so if something is going to be taking place, they know where I'm at, or they can let me know where we're planning on doing this Sunday. I remember one Sunday, one weekend, my daughter was moving to Houston, just got a job. She was about to work, start her work at NASA, working in mission control, doing the final years of the shuttle mission. And so we were all excited. We had already got her an apartment, got her furniture, got her situated to go. You know, it was a blessing of the Lord. And right after we almost finished moving her in, bringing all her furniture upstairs, me and my son lifting up couches and beds and tables and what have you, we get a phone call from the secretary at Word of Life saying, Apostle is going to be doing something and he wants to make sure. So, well, we had told them we were going to be out of town and she knew it. And so she was informing me, Alexis, stop. Got 2 minutes left. She was informing me that it would be to my best interest to be back at church. Even though we had planned on doing some things, buying some more stuff for her, making sure she was situated that Sunday, I told my family, let's wrap it up, shut it down. At a certain time that Saturday evening, we're leaving Houston and we got to go back because we got to be back to church. You know, getting back to that step, you see, years before that, I was on a step, you know, and like I said, it was a hard place simply because I felt, you know, why I got left out, you know. But the key was to stay faithful and to keep my mind from wandering, you know. Had no idea that one day I would be an instructor in the school of ministry, you know, be a leader in the church. Even though I was over prison ministry at the time, you know, but I had to learn the lesson to stay faithful and not to get bent out of shape, but to trust and if God told me this is where you need to be, I'm not getting up, packing my bags, going somewhere else because of some small uncomfortable situation. I'm not going to let that happen. And I thank God I didn't, because I'm so blessed. I really can't even be stressed. I'm just so blessed. And it's all because of walking in honor. I would love to use you as an illustration, but I don't know your situation. So I can only use my own personal. And I'm really not bragging on myself, even though it may seem like it. I'm bragging on Jesus. I'm bragging on walking in honor. You know, I'm bragging on serving properly. You know, I'm bragging on the fact that God put before me such a great apostle. And with that, my time is completely up. And we have finished the outline I wanted to do for today. We'll continue next week.